The 2010 NRL Final Series podcasts are brought to you by the NRL Tweet, wdnicholson.blogspot.com, and Warwick Nicholson's digital dragon application for dragons.com.au.
Not the Footy Show.
G'day everybody, welcome to episode 44 of Not the Footy Show. Woz here.
Dave here.
And we are just about to call the biggest play in Canberra Raiders history.
Of the history? Maybe just the season.
Maybe just the season. Luke Burt lining up for a penalty goal. Jared Croker lining up for a penalty goal. And we're about to call it for you on Not the Footy Show. Here it goes. Welcome back from the break from Canberra Stadium. Jared Croker, Canberra's season's on his boot.
He's just about to kick the penalty conversion. It'll level the scores. And
26 all.
They'll be going into overtime with the momentum.
Lines it up.
Here he goes. He's running
in. Through his mind. Here it goes.
Here it
off
is.
The boot.
Oh, he's missed it to the right.
Man, he's missed.
Oh, what a shocker. You'll need some therapy for that, Woz. You know a good therapist?
Well, I know Luke Burt's available on 0417 241 642.
Not the Footy Show.
G'day, everyone. Welcome to Not the Footy Show, episode 44.
Big one, 44.
43 is just a video this week, so make sure you check that out on YouTube. Raiders versus Tigers, the road trip for that epic semi-final. Dave, alongside me yet again.
G'day, fellas, how we doing?
Your wife will be very happy when the season ends, and she can have you back on a Wednesday night.
She doesn't need me on a Wednesday night.
Does she know you're even there? Like, does she realise that you're not there?
Yeah, she knows.
Not the Footy Show. Show!
Episode 44 of Not the Footy Show. You just saw Jared Croker slay the Raiders season. Missing that conversion.
Single-handedly.
But truth be told, I thought the game was over well before then.
That's what it looked like. But
Terry Campisi doing his knee.
But the bottom line is, if he had kicked that...
Well, who knows what would have happened. But Josh McCrone would have been our only field goal kicker. Although, I must admit, Josh Dugan has kicked a field goal attempt in the past that came really well off his boots. So he may have been a smoky.
Yes.
But that's buts and maybes. It didn't happen. What has happened is that the Raiders are done... And so are the Panthers. They're both being knocked out in elimination semi-finals.
The Panthers were a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, it doesn't help when your best two players get hurt in the first 30 minutes. One gets hurt after five in Jennings
Lewis
gone. They had
about five players going up that tunnel, didn't they?
They were struggling. Matty Elliott was getting the boots on, ready to go out there. And yeah, but that's the results, obviously. So it was 34-12, the Roosters over Penrith. And obviously the night before, Tigers 26, Canberra 24. End of the season for the Panthers and the Raiders. Tigers and Roosters move on to preliminary finals, and they're playing this weekend. Who are the Titans up there in Brisbane? Not playing on the Gold Coast, in Brisbane.
In Brisbane, at Suncorp.
They're playing who on Friday night?
They're playing the Roosters.
And that'll be 8 o'clock kickoff on Channel 9. And Saturday night, there's a game going on, is there? I'm not aware.
You're not aware of that one,
are you? No, not aware.
They say they're going to get about 75,000 people to it.
I reckon they're looking at 60 at least. They've apparently sold 50,000 potentially
at the moment,
tickets to the Dragons versus Tigers, by the way, everyone, in case you weren't sure. Obviously, the winner of the Raiders and Tigers played the Dragons, and the winner of Panthers Roosters play the Titans. Winner of those two games this weekend will play off in the GF.
The big GF the next week, the next Sunday.
I think it's fair enough to say that the best four teams of the year are playing at the moment.
That's a fair call. Yeah.
I think the end of the season for the Panthers pretty much just killed their chances at winning a comp. They weren't good.
They did slide a little bit, didn't they? And they weren't as polished as what they were.
And as good as Canberra were in the last 10 weeks, half a season doesn't make a season.
Exactly.
They won 5 from 15, I think it was, until they're 9 from 10 or 11, or as it turned out. Look, I think we'll have a look at all the games tonight. We've got, who have we got on the show this evening, David?
We've got me and you.
Well, that's good. You know that because we're sitting in the same room. We've also got Nick McInerney coming on to talk, Dragons again, all you Dragons fans. How lucky are you?
We might have to tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, my brother was listening as we drove down to Canberra for our road trip to Canberra. Check it out on YouTube, episode 43, Not the Footy Show. And he's going, what are these two dribblers going on about? he said, how biased can they be?
Not the Footy Show. Show!
My point is, if you don't like what we're talking about, ring us up or tweet us or whatever and tell us, and that give us a bit of a what for, you know?
Cause that's, what for?
We do want a bit of feedback from the
listeners. We get some feedback, mostly positive.
Good.
Otherwise, I just ban them and they never get to read, listen or watch the show again. So we've obviously got Matt Duncan as well. And everybody, I've just realised something. On the way down at the game and everything, sitting there with my brother, on the road trip, at the stadium.
What music were you listening to on the way down?
A bit of Transformers 986 soundtrack.
The Autobots wage their battle to destroy.
You got the touch.
Yeah. The Decepticons.
You got the sorry everyone. We've sung 3 weeks in a row. What more can you want from us? Anyway, we're sitting there and he's gone, "Gee whiz. Like, we listen to the podcast on the way down. And, like, I edit the show, everybody. So I do the show live, then I edit the show, and then I put the show up online. And then I listen to it at least one more time to make sure I haven't completely stuffed up the editing process, all
right? Yeah, right, yeah.
What I've realised is that if we're going to play commentator bingo, everyone, you got to play Not the Footy Show bingo. I say a couple of words all the time.
What are they?
Do you have any idea, Dave? Any idea at all?
No, I have not noticed it. I know that I repeat what you say quite a lot.
What do you say if you think I say and the repeat I say?
What did you say if you repeat everything that I think?
That's what I thought you'd say. Yes, yeah. That was brilliant, everybody. I usually say the word absolutely a lot.
Okay.
I say obviously all the time. Basically, gets a bit of a run as well.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't use it at the end of the day too much. I see clear of that. But to be fair, gets a bit of a run as well.
So are you saying that we should put these in a...
I apologise is what I'm doing. I'm apologising to everyone because I sit there and when I listen to the podcast and go, Woz, shut up. Because I always say, obviously, absolutely, everything like that. And I apologise, people.
Surely everyone would have words that they say quite a lot.
But
you know what I'm saying. Don't tease me, Woz.
Dave. No.
Anyway. Well, I don't know.
This is a great intro, everybody. Don't you agree? Tonight's intro, it's cutting through.
So we should work on what words we say too much and try not to say them.
Smooth. We've also got Matt Duncan coming on the show from Queensland.
By the way.
Yeah.
Dragons.
Yes. There's your word that you always use. Well done. Congratulations. Not the Footy Show. Go! And we've got our preliminary finals preview coming up. We've got a few things. The My NRL debacle with memberships. Did you hear about this, Dave?
No, I didn't.
Stay tuned. Well, basically, we went to Canberra on the possibility of tickets that we shouldn't have been able to get.
Really?
Yes, because the NRL stuffed up their membership situation. I'll explain a little bit later.
In depth later.
We've also got the crowds elimination semi-finals. One was great, one was ordinary. Got the question of finals pressure.
Right.
We hear about people choking. We hear about people, we've got nothing to lose. Let's ask the question of everybody on the show tonight. Do you think that the pressure is greater for some teams or the same or whatever? We'll ask that question. We're also going to have a look at why David Middleton obviously is about 94 years old. The league historian. He came out in the press today in a great article by Chris Barrett from The Herald. And he said that, we'll talk about the worst to first situation, but you've got to hear what he says about the Newtown Jets 1933 or 34 team that won the premiership that year. You've got to hear it, because it's the most gripping insight you've ever heard.
Okay,
you have to wait for more of that on Not the Footy Show, episode 44. Not the Footy Show. Go! So the elimination finals results on Friday night, Canberra 24, beaten by the Tigers 26, and the Roosters 34, Panthers 12. What does this set up next week, or this weekend, Dave?
Well, it sets up the Roosters playing the Titans.
On Friday night in the first preliminary final at Suncorp Stadium.
At Suncorp, that should be a sellout, I'm assuming.
Well, they've only got 40,000 from a possible 52, I think it is.
Yeah, but lots of people rock up on the night.
You'd hope so. I know the Titans want it to be a sellout because they can't play at Skilled. They're a bit dirty about that. They have to move that game. But
So you'd want it to have good numbers. And then on Saturday is the Dragons Saturday versus night the Tigers.
At ANZ Stadium. We're hearing 50,000 people possibly have tickets already.
Already, that's right. And you've got to think there's going to be a few more of them sold.
So I'm thinking they'll probably get... They might crack 70.
Now, both of these are going to be great games.
They should be. At this stage, I mean, you've got to go with the two teams that have had the break because both the Roosters and the Tigers have come off 180 minutes of football.
This is true, in
2 weeks.
And the other two teams have played 80 weeks off.
That begs the age-old question, would you prefer to be playing week after week or not?
Yeah, and it's different for each team, and it depends on what they do in that time off and all the rest of it. But I think both of these two teams, the Dragons and the Titans, are quite polished teams, and I can't see them having too much bad preparation for this game, so I think they're going to be ready.
And injury-wise, they should be fine.
Yeah, but mind you, in saying that, it does take you 10 minutes to find your legs again in that type of situation, I always find, when you're coming up back after a bye. So, and the Tigers are one of these teams that explodes out of the blocks. So there's every chance that the Tigers will have 12 points on the Dragons in the first 10 minutes.
We can only hope. Maybe... Well, our preview, what we'll do, everybody, we've got Nick coming on, and we'll do Raiders-Tigers recap and the Dragons-Tigers preview with Nick. And when Matt comes on in just a couple of minutes, we'll talk Panthers-Roosters recap and look at Titans versus Roosters preview.
Excellent.
So stick around for that, obviously, everybody, on Not the Footy Show. And I guess we wanted to talk about what we did at the start of the show. We we probably had a little bit of fun at Jared Croker's expense.
And, yeah, we did. And, you know, we were being a bit harsh as well.
You can check out the whole video, of course, with the road trip video. But I had a great time. Went down with my brother. He's a big Tigers fan. Mm-hmm. Raiders man, of course. We got our tickets. And the trip down took a bit longer than normal because there's a lot of stupid road work going on the M7 and whatever. It was just one of those frustrating things. You just want to get out of Sydney and on
They're
the Hume.
They're doing
and...
that again this weekend where the Dragons are probably going to have a hard time coming up from Wollongong.
Ridiculous.
They've had to organise team buses from Wollongong.
But you'd think that people would have, you know, forward thinking. It's the worst thing will be is if this happens in grand final week.
You can't ask the RTA and the rail network to try and think about sporting events.
Last time
like
I checked,
that,
they're owned by government, right?
Yeah, this is true.
Don't those government pay money for these games?
And the whole of, well, the whole of Australia, in a way, benefits from sporting events going well.
Yeah.
And anyway, but it is, I mean, it's one of those things where it's unfortunate, and you would think that they'd do a little bit more about it, but at the same time, it's very hard to try and reorganise. They said that they had those roadworks booked in a year ago, which I don't know if it's true, but that's what they said, and if they've been booked in for a year... I don't know.
They probably got started a year ago as well. Wouldn't surprise me. You know. But anyway, so yeah, we got in the car, drove down to Canberra. Nice trip. Beautiful weather.
It's always good catching up with your brother, isn't it?
Oh, it's outstanding. And as we got down to the outer reaches of Canberra, I looked at the clock.
Right.
It said 4 o'clock and went, ooh, it's getting a bit late. 11 degrees at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, that's Canberra.
Yes, yes, but I live in Sydney.
Right.
So, yes, adjustment, did adjustment.
You know, but you knew that you were going to Canberra.
I did know. I looked in the street directory. I knew where I was going. Canberra, that's where the place had to go.
So did you pack a beanie?
Oh, we were rugged up to the max.
Right.
Okay.
Good. Yes.
Layer. My brother didn't take a beanie. Foolish individual he was. But who was the nice brother?
Warwick.
Yes, I packed a beanie for him.
Did you really?
I did.
You've always been good at that. I remember we went to a cricket game one time and you brought an extra cup for me so that we could share a Coke and... Yeah, cheesels, and I think he even had an extra hat. I think he gave me a hat because I forgot my hat.
This guy's worth more money, ladies and gentlemen. If you want me to come and experience the grand final with you, I'll bring you a cup. I'll bring you a hat.
Yeah,
just buy my ticket, and I'll be sweet.
You're a very thoughtful person.
Oh, thanks, mate. Thanks, mate. Thinking of everybody.
Anyway,
we got down there, and it's cold. We had to walk to the ground. The best thing about Canberra Stadium, is you can park in like a suburb. It's only like a k and a half walk to the ground. And it's like very easy parking. You don't have to.
A K and a half?
That's nothing. Need to warm up in Canberra. I need to get moving.
Struth.
Anyway, so we got there and took in the sights, the stadium. That's practically it in Canberra. There's a lot of gaps between the towns.
Right, yeah.
Canberra. We passed an accident on the way. Everyone was okay, we're pretty sure, but that was pretty exciting stuff.
Was there a river?
There's an artificial lake full of carp.
What about a golf course?
Didn't see any golf courses.
Okay.
Saw some of those windmill things. Those turbine things.
The windmill things.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
Everybody's just going, they're switching off the podcast right now because, you know, that's what the road trip was about. So we got down there. My brother played the whole card of it's too cold. So the place we were going to go down and meet up with some Raiders fans, we didn't get to really do that because my brother said, oh, I'm freezing.
Pansy.
It was cold, but I got to say.
What a wuss.
It was down next to a lake and these man-made lakes, they're extremely flat.
When I was a son, I had to walk to school through the snow with bare feet and carry the horse.
Mate, you went to my school.
I know. I'm just trying to do the whole.
Okay.
Forget it.
It's never snowed here.
I'm interrupting you too much. Keep going with the story.
So, anyway, we got down there and we walked around, picked out our seating. We just bought general admission seats. And this is what I wanted to bring up with the my NRL Ticket Tech debacle. And Dave's looking at his watch. How long will this take?
Sorry, keep going.
But what we did was, apparently, according to the email that I got from the NRL 2 weeks ago, if you had a my NRL membership, which is literally... just signing up with the NRL to use their website. That's practically... You don't need it, actually, but it's something that you have.
Right.
I had priority access to tickets to this game, so I got on Monday night, as you would have found out last week, guys, and I put it on and booked my tickets.
Right.
Turns out the NRL stuffed up massively. That membership actually shouldn't have entitled me to any tickets until the general public got them.
It's membership to the club.
So I'm not a member of Canberra. I'm not a member of the Tigers. And I actually had access to the ticket. So if I'd wanted to, people, if I'd got on my bike really early this week, I could have got my NRL tickets to the Titans, Roosters or Dragons, Tigers before people who were even in the general public.
But they
swapped it around. They realised they'd stuffed up
and
they put a stop to it.
Oh, good.
But it's like, who's in charge of this stuff?
Yeah, really.
How do you miss, like, you send the emails out to everybody to say, this is what you can do, and yet... find out, oh, oops, we can't
do that.
No,
that's one of those clerical errors. That's one of those ones where it's someone working at the NRL doesn't really quite realise what the word membership means, and they're thinking, well, there's membership in this.
Well, I think what struck me the most in the email that I got was, it says, you're my NRL membership. It doesn't just say, if you have a membership, you can... It's like, it was directly targeted at the... I could be wrong, but I'm 99% sure that that's... Because I knew some people that tried to get on after I alerted to them the fact that I used my NRL last week.
Right, yeah.
And they got punted. They said they couldn't do it.
Wow.
So, yeah, I got to...
So you stuffed it up for everyone else.
I apologise. But so I sit in the crowd at the...
How many my NRL members are there?
I don't know. Too many people log in. It's one of those annoying systems where you log in and you get logged out straight away once you go to a different page. It's one of those stupid things. Anyway, we're sitting down. It's freezing. We're wondering why the heck we've come to Canberra. The under-20s finished an hour before the main game. So there's an hour of just sitting there going, I'm freezing. The crowd's building up, 26,500, a little bit lower than what we thought it might have been. We thought it might have hit 28. But no, the crowd, percentage-wise...
Capacity's 27,500, I thought they said.
No, I thought they only had 26,500.
No, yeah. So they're only 1,000 short of a capacity.
But they apparently had sold out, so figure that out.
Yeah, well, NRL's been doing that all year.
Yeah, true. Anyway, the crowd, probably percentage, I'd probably give it 15-85.
Okay.
Tigers to Raiders supporters.
Yeah, well, that sounds about right.
There was a few vocal ones out there, Tigers fans. The Raiders crowd was pretty nervous, but I have to admit.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, we've enjoyed the game. We've got people sitting next to you that you obviously just talk to because you're at a football game.
Yeah, because you're trying.
We've got people complaining about the fact that the hamburger they just bought seemed like it had been cooked a week ago. You know, this kind of stuff.
All that time.
The game itself we'll discuss in depth with Nick in just a minute. But I have to say, the crowd got into the Raiders like I haven't heard for a long time.
What do you mean, like getting angry with them?
No, they were behind them, but it was very much a case of Canberra had to do something to wake them up.
Yeah,
the nervousness of the crowd.
That's common as well.
Yeah, it was just it was a little bit disappointing given that they'd had to wait so long. They hadn't had a home final since 2000 in Canberra. It's the biggest game they've had in years. Yeah. And oh, sorry, 2003 was the last time they had one. It's just disappointing that the crowd was a little bit nervous.
Now, I hear what you're saying with that though, because I'll share something at the risk of, how do I say this, taking a punch at you know, the game that I love.
Go wild, Dave.
Well, we switched the... Okay, there was a couple of Saturdays ago, there was a night when there was a footies final, an NRL game, a rugby union game, and an AFL game. They were all on at the same time. Now, we...
Bledisloe weekend, wasn't it?
That must have been it.
Yep.
We switched over to the AFL game, and there's... just run-of-the-mill play happening. The guy's just running the ball up the middle. Nothing very exciting. But the crowd is roaring, cheering, going ape. And then you switch it back to the NRL game and there's pretty much nothing happening. And there's the commentators, you know, they're a little bit excited, but the crowd, for the most part, is silent. You want there to be that atmosphere at the crowd.
Yeah, there was noise. There was definitely noise, but there wasn't that fever or fervor, or however you pronounce it, behind the team. And that's something that I was a little bit disappointed about. When they scored a try, the crowd got crazy. The crowd,
but they wait until that moment.
They were waiting until that moment, and it just seemed like to have that advantage, to have that 26,500 fans behind you.
It
would have been good if the crowd had been. I mean, again, the Tigers fans did their best to try and make a noise, and I will give credit to the Tigers fans that I ran to after the game. Very, very good about it, because I think we'd all realised what a good game of football we'd seen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the experience of being there was fantastic. I will have one thing to say about the people that post online after the event. If you're gonna bag people out about what they pick in terms of result, try your best to, if they're putting information out there, try your best to say it before the game is played.
Instead of
because you sound like an absolute dipstick if afterwards you guys, oh, you went for the whoever's, and it's like we could take the criticism, that's fine, but just realize you sound a little bit like,
Anyone could have made that comment after the game.
Where were you 2 days ago? That's the sort of thing. So, as I said, but the great thing was the Tigers fans weren't sort of never in doubt or anything like that. They were respectful about all the Raiders fans. And it was a good weekend. You can check more about it on the video, episode 43.
Not the footy show. Show!
All right, everyone, we've got Matt Duncan from Queensland yet again on the show. Dave alongside me. Dave, do you have a question for the Doyen?
The only question I have is, what about the Queensland Crushers? Is there any noise, anything happening?
Yeah, g'day, boys. Yeah, well, there's headed off to the Queensland Cup Grand Final at Suncorp Stadium on Sunday and waiting for the big game to start. Redcliffe had just won the reserve grade, so I was pretty pumped up.
Wapow!
Wapow had a big game. He had a blinder, the big fella. And then a cameraman walked onto the ground, and I couldn't believe my eyes. He was wearing a Crushers jersey.
No! A cameraman!
A cameraman.
That's outstanding. Wow. Now, there's been a few variations of the Crushers jersey. Was it the old school just yellow, or was it I think they had a white one, didn't they?
No, they did have a white one, but it was the old school, the mustard, I think they called
the
it.
The mustard.
The mustard with a little bit of black.
Yeah, that's it.
With the stripes down one side.
That's right.
Blue, yeah. So he was wearing, he had a singlet over the top, but it was definitely identifiable as a Crushers jersey.
That's good stuff.
So we've been at this for 3 weeks, everyone. And we're at one.
Now,
one Crushers fan.
I would like to say...
Oh, actually, I have to ask this before you say it, Dave.
Okay, yeah, go.
Did it have a tomato sauce stain on it?
Well, maybe that's why he was wearing the singlet over the...
That's right.
So he's seen it at the same jersey you saw at the garage sale.
He's spilt a few pies on it.
One.
Nice. What was your question, Dave?
No, I was going to say the Crushers, their, I don't know what you call it, their mascot was a train, wasn't it?
Choo-choo!
It was a big steaming train. Is that right? No, I'm not sure.
No, sorry, what was that, though? I didn't quite get that.
You know, on the badge of the Crushers,
yeah.
Instead of having a dragon or a raider or a...
Because they were the Crushers.
But their Crusher was like a big steam train, I'm sure. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah.
Do you remember what the reasoning for that was?
Yeah, it's to do with the cane. Like that's what the name...
Ah, right.
Crushing the cane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's just as good
call
as...
call themselves the Caners or something, I don't know.
Sugar Cane, yeah.
Yeah, well, but your team's called the Raiders.
Off Nambour, there's a couple of Crusher teams around north, but Nambour Crushers were the original team, and they actually took, were going to take the South East Queensland Crushers to court when it first came out, because they stole their logo and their name and everything. So
they tried to do a Redcliffe against Gold Coast with the Dolphins.
That's exactly right. That's,
so that means Redcliffe weren't the first ones to...
Is that the reason why Gold Coast weren't allowed to have the Dolphins?
That's right.
Yep. I didn't know that.
That's right, yeah. Redcliffe said, hey, that's...
How precious is that, really? Like, it doesn't... Who'd heard of the Nambour Crushers if you didn't live in Nambour?
No, well, yeah, it's a fair point, but I suppose they... I think there was a little bit behind the... the design, the exact same logo was the big thing there, so...
Yeah, that marketing team must have been absolute brainiacs over there.
That's right.
So obviously that meant that you were at the grand final for the Queensland Cup. Who took part in that one?
In the Queensland Cup, it was the North Devils and the Northern Pride. And the Northern Pride, the team from Cairns, who are a feeder club for the Cowboys, were the premiers. So they skipped away to a big lead, 18-0 they led. And North's come back, mounted a second-half comeback. But, Pride went away, winners 30-20, and they were captained by former Cowboy and Parramatta halfback Chris Shepherd.
Ah, very good. Was the crowd serviceable?
Yeah, we got 7,000 people there to the game,
which wasn't too bad,
but very vocal crowd. North have got a lot of supporters, and they haven't had success for nearly 10 years now, so there's North fans who were there hoping that Shane Perry could lead them to another title, but it wasn't to be.
The semi-final between the Huddersfield Giants and the Warrington Wolves only drew 8,000, so that's quite a decent effort, that.
Yeah, it's not bad. There's probably some things to work on with the Queensland Cup. Like we've said in previous weeks, the local paper here, Courier Mail, doesn't give it the coverage it deserves. So, they're working on it, and it was a good effort, and, 6.5's not bad, but I'm sure they can improve on it next year.
Got to ask one thing. What was the halftime entertainment like?
Halftime entertainment, look, it really wasn't that bad. It was dancing mascots.
Dancing?
It was a dance-off between all the mascots. There was...
Now, hang on, dancing, what does that mean? Folk dancing?
No,
line dancing?
They were the theme throughout all the halftimes of all the three games, so the Colts reserve grade and the Queensland Cup. And they had, at one stage, it was a relay. So a running race similar to what we've seen with the Gatorade Bolt the week before.
Oh, yeah.
All the mascots running down the field. And then another one, they had a kicking competition, kicking a goal. And then at halftime, they had a bit of a dance-off, so they were the Macarena and chicken dance. And look, it wasn't that bad. It was
Who won? That's what we want to know.
They were. The winner was the East Tigers mascot.
Wow.
Now, what's the get-up for an East Tigers mascot? What are they prancing around in?
In the tiger suit. Yeah.
It's a big tiger suit. What do you think it's going to
be? I don't know, because Storm Man would have an advantage in all those kind of things, because he's just a dude with little thing on his head.
Yeah, well, the Titan Man, I thought, would have been a hope too, because he was just in really lycra, so he could move around easily. But
surely you'd get the biggest man you knew as the Titans mascot.
He was a big lad. A big lad, the Titan Man, and could dance as well.
Hi. Titans robbed. Maybe they'll be robbed this week. Well, we'll talk about a couple of the games, obviously, we've got in the schedule. Panthers-Roosters, 34-12 to the Roosters. Could the Panthers got any more bad luck in that first 10 minutes than what happened to them with Michael Jennings?
For those poor old Petty Panthers, and it just unravelled for them. And, you know, injury after injury to such key players, and it was always going to be an uphill battle after that, and it was. I don't think the Roosters were overly impressive. It was just a lot of bad luck from the poor old Petty Panthers.
Yeah, I agree with that. The thing that struck me about the poor Panthers is I think their problems had sort of started sort of 6 or 7 weeks ago. They'd had that big win against the Dragons. They seemed to be like equal premiership favourites, and I think they lost 5 of 6, and I think that was really where their season went down the gurgler, because they just couldn't seem to get their style back when they needed it at the end of the season.
Yeah, I was about to say a very similar thing. They've kind of been patched together for the last, you know, just with sticky tape, it nearly seemed, just limping into the finals after looking so impressive all year, and it was like it just unravelled on Saturday night, and it unravelled in a bad way.
I've got to take issue with you. You said patched together. I reckon Matty Elliott's been sitting at home, looking at his team, thinking, what's my big play I can have come finals time? And I reckon he's penciled in Adrian Purtell as the world's best second rower. And he's gone, this is the play that's going to win me the premiership. This is the biggest decision of my life. How'd that one turn out for him?
It didn't work real well. Poor old Adrian Purtell, poor old Matty Elliott. If that was the ace up the sleeve, he was always going to be in a fair bit of strife, wasn't he?
Because I think probably the decision that he did make, which would have been fair income decision that he made, Gordon to the wing, Coote at fullback. Coote was goodish, but they really missed Michael Gordon around the ruck.
They certainly did, didn't they? And, we've spoken about it again. Hindsight is a wonderful thing, but, yeah, Gordon had been so good for him at the back there. And you know, the old rule is you don't, not that they'd won the week before, but he was probably the best thing in the last 5 weeks for him, and that's what they changed.
So we looked to the Roosters. I was impressed by the simple fact that they've got key players in form in key positions.
In a number of them.
And again, as you said, they didn't play outstandingly well, but apart from the worst video refereeing decision I think I've ever seen, where was the doubt? They're just getting the job done, and everybody is playing good football, and they're...
And every
now if anything, their forward pack can probably improve.
Yeah, and every now and then, those key players that you're talking about pull off some very nice set plays and moves and... You know, even thinking on their feet type stuff.
Yeah. What do you think about how they're travelling? I mean, I think they've got a lot of improvement still in them.
Yeah, they look impressive. And, you know, he's never won a grand final, Brian Smith, but he can peak a team through a final series.
Yeah.
You know, he can get a team close to winning a premiership. They just seem to fall that final hurdle, and they're looking really red hot coming into the game. And, you know, I think they'll do the Titans on the weekend.
Yeah, I'm pretty with you as well. We'll look at them in a sec, but... Dave has a question for you.
No, I was just going to say, Brayton Nasta, I think, has signed for another 5 years or something like that. Is that
today? Is that right?
No. It was last week. I'm sure I heard something about it, and surely that's going to spur them on a fair bit.
I had not heard that, Dave.
Yeah,
breaking an exclusive, or making it up, one of the two.
I hadn't heard that either. I knew he wrote...
Maybe I am making... No, I'm sure...
I'm sure he had 1 year left on his contract, and the rumour that the Cowboys wanted him, but I hadn't heard him re-sign for a long period.
Okay. We'll
but if it happens, people,
we'll confirm.
Dead set Nostradamus over here.
You heard it here first.
I've got to ask you about the Sam Perrott try. Now, Stephen Clark has had a bit of controversy in the past. He's the one that gave the penalty against the Bulldogs in that Friday night game last year against the Dragons for the Jamie Soward interference. That's the best call of all time compared to the one he made on Saturday night. Where did Sam Perrott get the ball down?
Well, you know, in as he hit the fence sliding across. But that's the only time he got it down. It was an awful decision. And watching it live, I thought, well, he hasn't got that ball down. Yeah. And we seen the slow-mos. And then, yeah, I don't know what they're thinking sometimes. It's got me beat.
What annoys you is two counts, but the main thing that annoys me about decisions like that, and you see... I mean, not as bad as that, because that was atrocious, but you see decisions like that happen when the score is like it was. When it's 38 points, when it's 30 points to 12 or it's 28-12, there's no chance for the team that is conceding the try to get back in the game. They seem to give those tries for some stupid reason. I cannot see a reality where if the score is 18-16 to the Panthers and Sam Perrott has that exact same try again, there is just no way that Steve Clark gives that a try.
No, and that's right. And there's no reason why they should... when the score is blown up, but you're exactly right, Wos. You see it all year when score's blown out, they think, oh, well, that's one for the crowd. We'll give him a try.
I've got to give credit to Bill Harrigan as well. I thought he was the guy who'd come up with the biggest stuff up in the video ref box all year. I was wrong, because apparently, as far as I'm concerned, Mark Gasnier at least got the ball over the try line.
Right.
it actually hit the ground in the trial when he had that try. Who was that against? Was that? Do you remember who that was against, Dave?
It was Manly, wasn't it? It was the Manly game.
It was the Manly game where he clearly knocked on, but they gave him that try with the benefit of the doubt. This was a worse decision than that. And Bill Harrigan, I hope he's our video ref in the grand final, because Steve Clark, he just lost me. Gone.
No, that was atrocious.
Okay, Dave.
Can I give my 2 cents on that? I didn't think it was atrocious. I honestly...
Where did he get it down?
Well, that you can't see the bottom of the ball, so how do you know?
But you didn't see...
It was in between his legs.
Yeah.
There was a bit where...
He wasn't laying an egg.
But there was a bit where you saw a part, the ball went down a little bit, and then it came back
but
up.
It didn't... You didn't see any evidence whatsoever that suggested that it may have hit the trot.
That's why you give benefit of the doubt, because it was pretty close the whole time. I know.
Don't enter refereeing... Actually, no, you should enter the video refereeing ranks, Dave, because you're qualified.
Well.
If you see it that way, then that's what they want.
Do you want me to open up a can of worms?
Oh, go.
I also thought the Jamie Soward was legit. Everyone else thinks that it was the wrong decision. I still think it was the right decision. He got interfered.
Any guesses for who he goes for?
Yeah, I was going to say some red and white eyes going on there, I think.
We'll move on. Have you got a question, Dave? You've been writing things down. What's the question?
No, this is for later on in the...
Oh, he's moved right ahead of you, Matt.
Well, you jogged my memory. We can talk about it now if you want.
We'll talk about the Roosters versus Titans. Now, I agree with you, Matt. I think the Roosters and their style of football is made for finals footy. And I'm with you. I think they might get the Titans on Friday night.
Yeah, I think maybe the week's break, although they did have a few injuries, I think the week's break is probably going to hurt. The Titans are on such a good roll, momentum-wise, and yeah, sometimes it can be a curse that week off, and the Roosters are in such good form. I think they'll skip away early, and the Titans might come back, but no, I think the Roosters will blow them off the park early.
I think the other advantage that the Roosters have got going this game was I didn't think the forward battle was particularly intense on Saturday night.
Because they ran away with it, it actually was kind of an easy game.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they had 100 minutes of intense footy and then another 80 minutes of intense footy.
Yeah.
They really only had 40 or so.
And I think that's where, if the Titans were going to get an advantage, it was up front. So to have the forward pack, I mean, I know they'd be tired. You're going to be tired after 180 minutes of football in 2 weeks, but... the fact that they didn't have to get really stretched. I mean, it was a tight early game, that Panthers match, but you know, I just think the Roosters, Todd Carney and Pearce and Anasta, they're all putting their hand up for the big play. And at this time of year, you look at what... I mean, the Titans have got a bigger in with Campbell back. That's a massive in. I don't think anyone doubts that.
Yeah.
But really, Campbell, Prince are the two go-to guys for them. Rogers, I think, has just tapered off a little bit. That little purple patch that he was in, but... I mean, I hate discounting the Titans because I think they deserve to be where they're at.
Yeah, but the problem is they're not one of these exciting teams.
Yeah.
That has the big name players like Anasta and Minicello and all the rest of it. That's why I think everyone starts to lean towards the Roosters. But it's a hard call. It's a very hard decision.
Well, that's what happens when you get to the last four teams in
exactly,
the comp. It's
yeah.
the beauty of
and
the
like
game.
Like we said, the four teams remaining really be hard to argue that they're not the four best teams of the year. So.
What's the crowd looking like it's going to be up there, Matty?
Yeah, talk is they're going to get up around the 40,000 mark, was, which will be a great effort. And look, that'll be made up of Brisbane. You know, there's a lot of casual rugby league followers who'll just go along for an event, more so. So, you know, often with the Broncos crowds, the Broncos get criticised for having quiet crowds and quiet supporters. But, you know, if the Broncos get a crowd of 30,000, at least half of that is what I call a casual football supporter. You know, they'll say they support the Broncos, but they're just there for, you know, the day out and the spectacle of going and watching a good game of rugby league. And, yeah, a lot of that crowd will be made up of those. You know, there'll be the passionate people that'll travel from the coast. And
if the roads are open.
Jersey around the traps this week, so they've got a fair following up here as well. So, 40,000 is the figure they're looking at.
There's no roadworks, is there, between Titans territory and Brisbane territory?
No, it's all good. It's plain sailing.
Righto.
Okay, we're pushing for your pick. You're obviously going Titans, but how Titans by how many, Matty?
I'm going Roosters.
Oh, that's right. That's exactly what you said the first time, and I didn't listen.
Yeah.
Same thing happened to Dave a couple of weeks ago when he said he told me to pick the Titans, and I am down for the Warriors. So you go on the Roosters by how many?
Go the Roosters by 13.
Whoa!
Wow.
I can't quite get on that boat. I'm taking the Roosters to win by 2.
No, it'd be a little bit more than that. Roosters by about 6.
Wow. And we don't have Nick's pick yet. We're hoping to talk to him soon, but I just think the thing that strikes me in this game is that the Titans may have a lead late, but this Roosters team, they just seem like they've got that 10-minute comeback in them at the end of the match, and I think we could be in store for a bit of a corker.
Who will be playing against Stevie Michaels, Woz? Who will that,
well,
be? Kenny Dow?
I tell you what, it wouldn't shock me. Now, I know that he's John Carrot loves him.
Exclusive.
Oh,
this is not the Footy Show listeners.
But I know that Joseph Tomane has been playing a lot of football in the Toyota Cup recently. And I know Michael's been carrying injury. He'll probably play. This is all just speculation on my part. But it wouldn't shock me if there's room for a Joseph Tomane on the bench come the final team. It's one of those things. I reckon if he has struggles, and I think he's up against... He plays right centre, so he's up against the left centre, which would be... I'm drawing a blank. Kane Lynette, that's who he's got. Kane Lynette, Matty.
Okay.
But I reckon Joseph Tomane could be a late inclusion on that bench. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, the one thing about Brian Smith, he's been one of the best ever at exposing another player's weakness. And all fairness to Stevie Michael, since he's gone to the coast, he's really worked on his defence. But I think someone like Brian Smith would have, you know, watch video after video, and I reckon the first try of the night from the Roosters will come from a defensive miss by Steve Michaels.
And that's also Anasta's side as well, so he could be getting a lot of early ball, Braith Anasta.
Who's the winger on that side for the Roosters?
The Roosters, that'll be Lalia, because Phil Graham, unfortunately, looks like he may have done his pectoral, and he could be out for the entire season.
Well, Phil.
Yeah, I know. I feel sorry for him. So that's the preview. Now, we want to get you out with a question that we're going to ask everybody on the show tonight. We're in the last four at the preliminary finals. Pressure. Do you think that one team experiences more than the other? Do you think that the situations of years past plays a bigger role? When you think of pressure, Matt, who do you think going into these two games in the weekend, can you rank 1 to 4 who's under the most pressure this weekend?
George are under the most pressure, no doubt. After, you know, it's been a long time between drinks. They went out in straight sets last year. St George are under the most pressure, no doubt. Bennett's been trying to deflect it, and I've seen Benny Cray, you know, trying to deflect it on the news as well tonight. But no doubt, St George, they've got a big monkey on their back, and they're under a lot of pressure. I think they'll win, but the most pressure's on them. I think maybe the second most. It's probably the coast. They've never been there before. It's new territory. A lot of the media in Queensland are getting right behind them, you know, saying they're the hope of Queensland. Being such a young club, I think the pressure's on them.
Yep.
The Roosters, they're probably next. You know, Brian Smith's getting closer to that, you know, that premiership that he's waited so long for. So I think the pressure really mounts on them if they get to the GF. And then the Tigers just seem to be one of these teams that, you know, whether they're 2 in front or 20 behind, they'll play the same type of football. And I don't think there's any pressure on them. Well, there's pressure, but of those four, I think they've got the least amount.
Okay, that's a very interesting way of looking at it. Dave, do you want to put your four teams in while we've got Matt on the line? In pressure stakes?
Obviously the Dragons number one.
Dragons number one.
I think most people are going to say that because of the situation. Everyone knows it. I think that the Roosters being coached by Buffhead.
Brian Smith, he's actually
that's the fella. Yeah, but that's massive pressure that to try and be the first team that actually gets him to win the premiership instead of choking again. If they make it to the grand final, there's going to be pressure on them to not stuff it up for him again.
Yeah.
Because
he's not coaching the Dragons, mate.
Yeah, but hang on, he did it for Parramatta and he did it for who else was it? There was another team that he did it for as well, I'm sure. Anyway,
Dragons, mate.
Yeah. There was three teams. Anyway, he didn't get the reputation from...
yeah, okay, anyway.
Anyway.
Number three.
You've got to put the Titans next, simply because the Tigers have got no pressure whatsoever. They're going up against the number one team that everyone thinks is going to beat them. They've got almost got nothing to lose. And they're riding the momentum, and it plays right into their hands. So, the other thing I was going to say about the Titans is... And this is a little bit...
Oh, go for it. We'll let Matty go in a sec, but yes.
Well... The Titans are a new team that haven't won a premiership yet. And the NRL likes to, like the 99 grand final, likes to try and favour the team that, you know, that he wants
to win. Who played in the 1999 grand final? Matt, do you have any idea who might have played that game?
I don't know. Who was it?
I know there was Melbourne. There was a team in red and white.
We're in the red and white. They play in 99.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything. You guys know what happened. The Suits called up Bill Harrigan at halftime and said, "Don't you let the Dragons win. We want the Melbourne to win."
I've been putting up with this for 20-odd years, Matty. But I love him. He stuck solid with the Dragons, so...
have faith.
He still hasn't been around for a premiership, so the poor kid, you know, eventually it'll happen for him.
So the Titans don't have any pressure either.
Cause that's what we're saying.
Because
no,
they know they're shoo-ins because they,
yeah.
cause the NRL
cause,
wants
Because Bill Harrigan's in the video ref box.
Well, it's the NRL. It's
nice,
the Suits.
Nice. All right, well, Matty, thanks for that. I'll give you my four. I reckon, obviously, Dragons number one. I actually think Tigers are the second most pressured team, simply because if they beat the Dragons this weekend,
the
pressure just goes directly on them because everyone will expect them to have got through the tough road that they've had to the grand final. They'll be favourites in the grand final, I think, if they beat the Dragons.
And if the Tigers beat the Dragons and the Roosters beat the Titans, we got a replay of the 100-minute game that we had a few weeks ago.
I actually think the team under the least amount of pressure is the Roosters. Titans, as you say, I think... I'm just not convinced they're ready for it yet, and I think that's something that's sitting in the back of their mind. Such a new club, as you say, to get a chance at a premiership is something that's going to be sitting on the back of their mind. So I actually think the team under the least amount of pressure is the Roosters. But that's all we've got time for, Matt. Thanks for sticking with us and putting up with the Dragons talk.
No worries, boys. Have a good night, eh?
Indeed, and enjoy your show tomorrow morning. Sports Fever, 101.5 FM, up there in beautiful Queensland. Enjoy, mate.
Good on you, boys.
Not the Footy Show. Show!
So we just got off the phone with Matt. Great conversation. And one thing that Warwick asked Matt was about the halftime entertainment of the Queensland Cup. Now, that brought to my mind, what's the halftime entertainment going to be of the grand final in the NRL? Because they haven't said anything yet. And if you'll recall, last year it was about 2 months before the grand final that they announced that we've got Wolfmother playing at half time. Now, they haven't said anything yet. Does that mean that they've got nothing?
Well, I don't know. I'm a bit worried about the amount of build-up we've got for grand final week. We've heard all this information about what's on and all of the great things that are happening.
I remember you praising the NRL now, a few weeks back about what they were doing.
What are they doing on grand final day? I mean, there's a lot of people. I mean, today the NRL came out and said that if you want to return your grand final tickets, if your team has been knocked out, you can.
Ooh.
So there'll be a lot of tickets coming from Penrith and Canberra, I would imagine, in the next 24 hours. People who
But what does that mean? So they're going. So
they go back on sale and they.
Straight away.
Yeah, so basically.
I've got to get online.
The long and the short of it is Ticketek get twice the booking fee. It's genius. Because you don't get your money back for the booking fee that you made initially.
But the long and the short of it is, now I can go in.
Well, I don't know when they're available. They're available at some point. I haven't looked that up. But I guess the Monday.
Can you make sure that you don't upload this podcast until maybe Friday?
You don't have to tell people that that's
going to happen. Yeah, because I'm going to have a go tomorrow.
Well, yeah, you can have a look on NRL.com and the rest of the places. But, yeah, halftime entertainment, to not have heard anything at this stage is surprising. As Matt said up there in the Queensland Cup Grand Final, they had a mascot off. Dancing in the middle, which isn't the worst idea ever.
No,
I mean,
it's a good for what they've got for the budget they've got. That's actually quite a good idea.
You can't go wrong with a couple of things at halftime entertainment. a hot chick singing a song.
Yeah, right.
Or, which is what they used to do in the 90s, they used to get the local talent out there and sing some sort of song and say she was the next big thing to come along and we never heard of her again.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Or you play little kids playing football in the middle at halftime.
Little kids playing football? They are not,
you can't beat them. You can't beat them. They're your fullbacks.
Now, let me tell you what I don't like.
What don't you like?
Little kids singing songs.
Was there a little kid singing song somewhere?
They always pull out a little kid singing songs. They try and do the halftime spectacular and they bring out all the kids with their...
We had some, like,
everything.
On Friday night, for the Tigers game, we had a guy who I'd never heard of. Apparently, he had a song in the ARIA charts. Then again, I don't listen to the radio, so...
But this is someone
he wasn't bad, but...
You know, if they're potential superstars, then fair enough. But the little kiddies running around, you can tell they don't really know what they're doing. And you can come up with something better than that. I don't know. I just... But at the same time, it's very hard to get entertainment that everyone likes, and when Wolfmother played at halftime last year, I remember thinking, oh yeah, right, and Wolfmother, I actually like Wolfmother.
Yeah.
A lot of people bag him, but I like them, I like their stuff, and I thought, well, it's hard to set up a rock and roll atmosphere at halftime of a football game, even when Hoosie Watson, who had the plug pulled out of him a few years back.
Hoosie Watson.
Oh, come on, what's his name?
Oh, Billy. I was there. I was at that grand final.
Just waiting for some power.
And he goes, Roosters!
Come on, Billy, let's
Warriors!
Go.
Warriors!
Let's go.
Actually, to be honest, that was more entertaining than he was actually singing.
Well, that's right, because it was a stuff.
It was fantastic. And then he went around his little hovercraft.
Well, that brings a good point. Should we have some sort of comedy at halftime instead of trying to wow everyone and blow them off the park when it just doesn't really work? I mean...
Comedy. You want a comedy act out there. Well, Craig McLaughlin is available.
Craig's not going. Well, you're right. I don't know. It's a very hard gig to fill.
But what would you do? Like, listeners, do you have any ideas? What could we put in the grand final halftime? I mean, you've really only got 15 minutes. They add an extra 5 for the grand final. They've always got their halftime shows and stuff on the TV. So we've always got extra 5 minutes that we need it. But yeah, I don't know. I just think we've got the ability to do something special this year.
You know what they should do?
Tina Turner. Get her back.
No. I just had an idea.
Call you when I need you. Yeah, my heart, I'm fine.
Now there might be a bit of a I don't know what you call it, a network problem, but the TV show Wipeout.
Yeah, what?
They should have a wipeout.
A wipeout in the middle.
A wipeout style course in the middle of the field, watching people wipe out and get their heads bashed against big pads and doing the splits and getting hit in the crutch and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Fun entertainment for the whole family.
Nice. Speaking of entertainment, everybody, NRL has released the 10 moments that all the 12 moments we need to choose for the top 10 moments of all time in grand finals. We're going to take you through what they've put on NRL.com. I think there is one major omission in this list. We'll see what it is. And for some reason, they haven't updated them all. What's going on here, NRL.com? NRL.com. I've always been very much it could be so much better than what it is.
It could be so much better.
I'm currently refreshing the page because it won't load what I need it to load. I want members' moments. Come on. I clicked that a second ago. This is the beauty of radio, everybody. The real-time radio. We're trying to click it on. The number one moment for mine of all time in grand finals is Darren Albert's try against Manly.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Just the way it ended the game. A great play by Johns. But there are a bunch that I would put equal... first, like, to be honest.
It's always hard for us...
Steve Jackson carrying 40,000 players over the try line for Canberra versus the Tigers in that final try in the 1989 grand final. That was unbelievable.
Yeah. See, now that plays into what I was about to say. For us young fellas, it's a bit hard for us to make a call because we haven't, you know, we've only seen the grand finals for the last,
What comes to your mind? This is unbelievable.
Well, this is the thing. I didn't even remember that moment from the 89 grand final.
Wow.
I don't really... Well, surely...
I'll give you a couple of ones they've got on there.
It's Benny Elias hitting the post or hitting the cross.
Well, what made that grand final was so great. I think they had three listed in this top 10 or whatever it is. Three from that game. They had the John Ferguson try to level it up. They had the Paul Sirenin try from the kick down the sideline in the first half where he palmed off Bradley Clyde and scored underneath the posts. And they had, of course, the Steve Jackson one. They've got Roy Simmons scoring that match-winning try in 91.
Yep.
They've got Steve Renoff going length of the field for the Broncos. They've got Laurie Daly scoring from halfway for the Raiders in 94 when he got tackled just before the line, then he had to scramble over on his knees to score in the corner.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay.
Now, they've got other stuff like Nathan Blacklock scoring in 1999. Did a little dance afterwards. But, that wasn't amazing. They got the Jamie Ansko head high. They've got that.
That's some
Eric Grove memorable. Finishing off some tries in the 80s. John Sattler playing with a broken jaw. I'm not sure if that's a moment. It's a effort. But I don't know if it's that sort of moment.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's very hard for that
to win. Yeah, but what about the...
Bob McCarthy taking...
The footage of him being carried after the game. Yeah. That was a good moment.
That's a good moment. But I don't know where the rest of them have gone. People, they on NRL.com, they had at least five or six more. They've disappeared. I don't know what the deal is.
They got voted off.
Well, they can't have, because there's no 1989 moments there, which is slightly surprising.
Well, that's true.
But Scott Sattler's match-winning tackle on Todd Burns not there. But there is one moment that I must admit, I am shocked didn't make the list.
What's that, Wazza?
Steve Menzies gets on the list for his final minute try in the 2008 grand final. Steve Menzies was a great player, you know, had a great career, scored a lot of tries, and that try he scored at the end, it was fitting that he finished with the last try, etc., etc.
He'd already got one, though, during the game. Didn't he score one of the first tries?
Oh, I'm not sure if he did. He definitely got the last one.
Okay, all right.
Well, one of the last tries. But Bowmaninga in 1994 takes an intercept from Jason Smith, runs 40 metres, and you've got the crowd going absolutely crazy. You have one of the best calls of all time where you hear Fatty Vorton go, "Gay big fella! Gay big fella!" And then he goes over and scores, palms off Jared McCracken.
That's the worst Fatty I've ever heard. "Gay big fella!
No, ladies and gentlemen, that was the worst Fatty Vorton you've ever heard.
Yeah, but I was doing an impression of you doing Fatty Vorton.
Maybe it was better then.
Maybe that's what he sounded like.
But anyway, he goes out, and then Ray Warren comes out with, "The crowd roars, the crowd roars." And it's like, that for me is just, that's quintessential moment in a grand final. One of the greatest players of all time scoring that try.
But you're a Canberra supporter. So
tell me it's not a great moment.
I never remembered it until just now.
You wouldn't have watched it.
No, I did. I would definitely watch that.
But how it didn't make that list when the Menzies one made it is what I'm trying to get at. This was one of those moments where it was the last part of his career, takes the intercept, and it's that sort of cat and mouse running after him kind of thing. He gets there in the end. It was a great moment in rugby league. You don't remember?
No.
Lovely. Lovely. I imagine people, they will show the top 10 of this at the halftime. That's why I bring it up. They'll probably show you this as the halftime entertainment.
Good. And if they don't, then they're not doing their job properly.
Well, this is a good idea, but I don't know where the rest of them have gone, people. So if you've got any ideas, they're on NRL.com, if you can find it. It's not exactly the easiest thing to find.
This is the type of stuff where I like to hear about, you know, what were the moments that happened back in, like, the 50s and 60s.
Well, if you get the grand final preview...
Because I don't know what happened
The grand final preview magazine always has the retrospectives of how they were in that big game or whatever. But next week, everyone on the grand final show... of Not the Footy Show, we'll look at our favourite grand finals, our best tries, all that kind of stuff. But we will be giving each of our three best grand finals of all time. So make sure you stick around there for that.
Ooh.
So if you've got a week to think of the three best grand finals you have seen, and you got to think about why they were the best grand finals you've
ever seen. Yeah, but I know what they are already, really.
Well, then...
Okay.
Wait till we get there, and that'll be on next week's Not the Footy Show.
Not the Footy Show. Show!
Couple of things we need to look at.
I've got to have a go at you about that noise that you just made. don't make that noise again.
That's fantastic. Shut you up. That's all I need to do.
I know, but I was shocked at the. That's a horrible noise.
Sorry, everyone. You can be the judge yourself. A couple of things have happened, obviously, this week. Mad Monday was on Channel 9.
I can't believe
on Monday night. And we've both missed it.
I knew it was on, and I was excited about it because I knew the Wayne Bennett interview was coming.
I've seen the first half of that.
I just completely forgot. Is it good?
It's not bad. It's a feel-good interview. Okay. A feel-good interview is always good, because he knows how to ask a question to get an answer.
But from all reports, Wayne Bennett was a bit more open and a bit more talkative than he usually is.
He wasn't talking to journos who want to try and feed him, get headlines the next day. That's the big and long and short of it with him. And he's the king of the deflection.
If someone knows how, can you post that on YouTube or something like that? So that
it'll be on. It's on. Well, the first half was on dragons.com.au. That's where I saw it.
Excellent.
I think the second half is up today.
Excellent.
By the time we put this podcast up on Thursday, it'll definitely be there. A couple of things. So I didn't see it. You didn't see it. I'll hopefully see it by the end of the week. I'm doing everything I can to get a copy and have a look at.
Do we know what else happened on the show?
Cameron Williams was the host, so that sort of turned me off a little bit, I have to admit. He doesn't do much for me.
There you go.
He doesn't do much for me.
He's all right.
I mean, I'm sure I don't do anything for people as well, but I saw the bit that he did on the Dragons bit with Bennett, and it was like, oh, man.
All right.
Read from your notes, Sunshine. Read from your notes.
All right, okay.
And it had Ray Haley on it. Didn't say a word in the bit that I saw, so that was a good time for me. And who else was on the panel? To be honest, I couldn't tell you. There was a fourth bloke.
Anyway. The good thing about this show
that we didn't see.
The good thing that, about this show is that they're doing another show.
I completely agree. Next year.
Now, this is because, I'm assuming...
And we have a message from Nick coming through. He's about to ready to talk. Okay, keep going, Dave.
The good thing about this show is that it shows that that Channel 9 are a little bit worried about Channel 7 doing the Matty John show 2 times a week.
Yeah.
And Channel 10's making bids. And it shows there's a bit of competition between all of the networks to try and get, rights to the game. And that they're all going to put in a bit more effort because they see our game as worthy of, trying to buy. Or
I think the big push behind why it's on these next 2 weeks is I think they might be doing 2 things. One is, when you only have finals on Friday and Saturday night, the footy shows and stuff that are usually on the Sunday are still on, but I don't think they get quite the viewership because a lot of people like getting up that next morning and then having that as their entree to the game on the afternoon.
Yeah, I hear you.
I think they want to have something extra just to keep themselves, as you say, in the limelight mm-hmm. during the finals. But I think they're also road testing it possibly for next year. One of the things that I think has been...
That's for certain.
Has been dead set... The rugby league has been crying out for... It's dead set for a long time. Channel 10 used to do it. Rex Mossop used to do it on Channel 7 and all that kind of stuff. They used to have a Monday night show where they would just review the weekend.
Ah, right.
I would love to see Channel 9 put it at 10:30 on a Monday night. It'd rate its socks off.
Now, when you say review the weekend, as in all the games...
You have all the games, but you have it with a mature discussion about the games.
Yeah, but Phil Gould's the kind of guy... But they do that on the Sunday footy
But see,
show.
They don't have all the games. They don't have the Sunday afternoon. They don't have the Monday night game. They miss all that. And for mine, I think you put it into a half an hour show. It doesn't have to be that much long. But you have it where you have the people who, like Gould or whatever, discuss the actual game itself. But I know they do that on Sunday as well.
So would it be better
but...
to do that on a Tuesday night after the Monday night game? And then you've got the Sunday afternoon games and the Monday night game.
Tuesday's too late. I think you have to have it on the Monday night after the Monday night football finishes.
Okay.
I know that Fox Sports think they do that anyway, but I think we're really missing something on free-to-air, just wrapping up the weekend. Okay. And I don't know about you, but I would love to just watch a highlight show that had all the highlights of all the games in one half an hour sitting, or 45 minutes, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people I know who don't see every game on the weekend. Yeah. There's no way they can do it. They have to go to YouTube. The NRL.com interface is just really hard to navigate.
It'd be perfect, wouldn't it? You're right, because I rarely see more than three games a weekend. And to watch
five-minute highlight of each match.
With commentary over the top of it.
You could make it an hour-long show, because five times eight games is 40 minutes. So you add your breaks in.
Okay, yeah.
It's a ready-made, and it's TV that I would watch.
Yeah.
And make sure I'd record, I wouldn't miss it, even if I'd seen all the games that weekend.
I've got to say, one of my favourite bits about rugby league on TV at the moment is when Vossi does stuff you may have missed.
Yeah.
Now, he does it in a commentary style, but it brings up the stuff that you didn't see because you didn't watch that particular game.
Yeah, I think it's something that the NRL, the Channel 9 really needs to look at putting in next year, because I think it's a valuable asset to teach people about the game. A lot of people, you're not necessarily going to have a lot of people do stuff on a Sunday morning. People go to church, people have lunches. They just don't have
the
chance.
They sleep in from their big night on Saturday.
Exactly. But on a Monday night, a lot of people who don't have Foxtel as well.
Yeah.
I think it solves so many things that the game needs, and it's never a bad thing to have another show about rugby league when it's rugby league.
There ain't too many people that go out on a Monday night, is there? There's a lot of people that come home after a hard first day of the week and work, and all they want to do is sit on the couch and watch a bit of footy.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Look into it, Channel 9.
Yeah.
Really pushing for that.
Not the footy show.
So a couple of charges out of the weekend. Simon Dwyer didn't get suspended for his high shot on Joe Picker that led to that Jared Croker penalty shot. He took an early guilty plea and he won't miss any games. Scott Logan facing 1 to 2 weeks off, but he's retiring. So if I was him, I'd just be going to the judiciary and saying, ha-ha, give me whatever you like. Because apparently he's captain coaching in the Illawarra League. But
is he really? I didn't know that.
If he's captain coaching, what's the suspension mean to him? Nothing, because he's going to be coaching anyway. So, yeah, it's a bit surprising.
He didn't miss.
I don't know who he hit.
There's a precedence. He hit
Chris Hyington. That's who he hit.
Yeah, right.
And he smashed him and then told him, get up. And Hyington's like,
that's right. Yes, of course. Yeah.
Where am I?
And he was groggy. Hyington got... I mean, in the replay, you saw
if
his
a guy like Scott
snapped.
Logan hits you, it's not going to miss, because he's a monster of a man.
And there was one shot in particular, one angle of the camera where you really did see his head violently snap sideways.
But other thing to talk about, crowd from the elimination semi-finals, obviously bumper crowd in Canberra, but only 23,000 people at Roosters versus Panthers, two Sydney teams, and then get 23,000.
That was disappointing,
very
wasn't
disappointing.
It? There were a lot of... Even on the TV, you could see that up the top of the stadium, there are a lot of empty seats. Why? I would have thought there'd be a much bigger crowd than that. Is everyone putting all their eggs in the grand final basket? Or?
Well, I think it's just those two teams aren't heavily... Like they're supported, but they're not heavily... Make sure... stop at nothing to go to the game.
I would have thought the Penrith Panthers supporters would be like that.
They had 16,000 of their home game last week.
Yeah, okay.
It's just the reality of you get two games in Sydney to go and support your team, and yeah, it didn't really happen. I think a lot of the Panthers fans may have just seen the injury toll and sort of just despaired a little bit, to be honest.
Writing on the wall.
Now, after obviously that game that went to on Friday night, I need something to cheer myself up on Sunday afternoon.
Right, yes.
And that was the 1994 game between Canberra and Newcastle at Marathon Stadium, round 18, I think it was.
Ooh.
The game where Brett Mullen scored 4 tries, 2 length of the field jobs. But
Was that the one where Rabs is going, if he gets this, it'll be a miracle?
No, that was the next year. I'll show you one of the tries I've pulled off the tape. I'll show you to Dave in a second, and you'll be able to hear his reaction as the thing has been played for him. But I also have the Albert Fullavai rundown by Paul Harrigan that I promised last week for Dave to have a look at.
Right.
So in just a second, everybody, Dave will see how fast Albert Fullavai isn't.
Not the footy show.
Yeah, I forgot how good he was.
He goes all right, isn't he? Dave's just watching Mullins race away for that first... Amazing. Well, the second actual try scored that night when Canberra mopped up the Knights.
Do it again.
It's replaying for him again, but one of the greatest in and away you'll ever see on Robbie O'Davis.
16-0.
At this stage.
To the Raiders.
It was just one of those moves, everybody, that if I can put it up on YouTube, I will. It may actually be able to go up on the website.
Newcastle kicks it.
Because of copyright issues, but have a look. Ndrukwu
pretty much right in the corner.
On his line, everybody picks the ball up.
Passes it to Mullins. Starts running up. There's a gap. Step. Shimmy Wooshka, step, step again, Wooshka again. This is who Mark Gasnier learnt off.
Not bad, is it?
So he's got some pace on him too. He's got some long legs that stride out.
He's a speed demon. Oh. But now, Dave, I'm going to show you Albert Fullavai.
Here we go.
Now, poor old Albert Fullavai was a winger for the Raiders
right
in the 90s, and I explained it last week. He scored 22 tries in 44 games, decent effort.
Explain it to me again.
He was one of those players that you just saw in your team each week and just said, why is he playing first grade?
Okay.
Okay, he just didn't quite have the skills that the other players around him did, okay? He just went, surely they have a player who's faster, better, whoever you like. You know, Bo Ryan for the Tigers at the moment. Bo Ryan will be doing well to stay in first grade if Wade McKinnon comes back based on his performance last week and the last couple of weeks. There you go, everybody. But here we go. Here is Albert Fullavai. Hammering the ball, hammering down the touchline, and Dave is watching it for the first time ever. Here we go. You talk, Dave.
Yeah, the Newcastle's kicked it.
Matty Johns kicked in on the line. Fullavai step one through.
Step one, step two. Okay, picked a gap. He's running down. Who's that running him in? Reeling him in.
That's Paul Harrigan. How good
oh
was that?
Oh my goodness!
How good was that?
Wow.
Was I lying about how...
Do you know what? I thought that was one of the... Like, must be the centre or the winger that's reeling him in, because it was a thin, fast fella reeling him in. Show that again. Can you show that again?
I'll show it. It'll be shown in a second. I just want to show you the next try that Mullins scores. And
okay,
again,
all right. All
example right. of pace, because that's...
Canberra's got the ball. Who's that? That's Meninga.
Meninga to Croker.
Meninga's got it. Look at the
passes
field.
Passes up to Quinton Ponga.
The field's
Ponga.
All cut up, a little bit muddy.
Ponga to Ndrukwu. Ndrukwu back out to Meninga. Meninga back infield to Johnny Lomax. Now watch this. Watch this. This is a great move. This is Canberra at their peak.
Is this Newcastle Walters side any good or what?
Over to Furness, dummies in, dummies out, goes to Mullins and he just goes straight around everybody.
Passes.
And there's another example of Mullins' amazing
speed.
As I said, everybody, this will be on my website, wdnicholson.blogspot.com.
He's one of those players.
At some point in the next couple of days, but you've got to check these videos out.
That is fun to watch, because the gap wasn't really there, and it was, he had to run past a Newcastle Knights defender
then,
to get into that gap.
And then he stands
gap.
Up and have a look at it again.
And it closes in on him,
it's
but he's too quick.
Play.
He gets through it.
Andrew Johns misses at the tackle.
Little
and
gap.
And look at that. That's just straight around the outside. Now, I realise this is radio, everybody, so you're just going, why am I sitting through it? But just appreciate how Dave's enjoyed watching this. This is vintage 1994.
Yeah, but I'm one of these fellas that loves going back and watching the old games and the style, watching how different the style of the football is and all that type of stuff.
And you ready for the Fullavai rundown again? Here it is.
They're going to replay it, are they?
Ferner will convert. The king of
Ferner.
The... David Ferner, coach of Canberra
now. He's now coaching Canberra.
Here he is with the tape around his head. This night he had about 84 kicks from in front.
What does it say on the, in the in goals, was it?
Winfield Cup.
Winfield Cup.
And here we go. Here's the run from Fulavai. Watching. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Not. It's not here yet, was it?
It's Where about to happen. It? There it is. Oh, here he goes. There's no one in sight. There's no one around him. No one at all. Look at him go. He's putting down the head. Fast as you go, and watch that. Oh. What a tackle by Chief Harrigan.
Chief just puts his head down and just goes, bam. That's great.
So there you go. I didn't lie last week, did I?
I thought you did.
But I didn't. Everybody, it'll go up. It'll go up on my website.
People, you've got to watch that. That's fantastic.
As great as the Mullins try is, I reckon the chase from Harrigan's even better.
The first angle is the best one, though, because you can see Harrigan closing in on him. The second time you see it, it's like a front-on...
Of just Fulavai. You think he's away, he's going to score by himself.
And then Chief comes in from the side, puts his head down, and right around the waist.
So everybody, if you've got past games or past moments that you've got on tape or whatever...
Send them in, people.
Find a way to upload them up, guys. I can give you a website that people can put it on, but it's worth checking out. There's a lot of good stuff going up on YouTube at the moment.
About pictures on YouTube. Do it on the Twitter.
Really, appreciating our past and what I grew up with, I saw a level of football that I don't know if I'll see the same again, because there was just so many great players that went around when I was growing up. And now I've said this not much times, but I think we've been a bit... We're getting told it's a lot better than what it is for me. The current state of the game. It's good football.
Okay. It's not special football. Well, there's more of the players are more highly tuned. Back in those days, only half of them were highly tuned, and some of them were standouts.
And what was good for me was practically the entire Canberra team.
But they were playing against people like Tony Butterfield.
Don't be harsh.
Well, he admits
he is a good footballer.
He was a good footballer, no doubt. But he
Mark
admits,
Sargent, Mark
can you
Landle?
Let me get my words out? He admits that he loved his grog. And that him getting drunk was part of being a footballer.
Yeah.
How are players like him going to be able to defend as well against highly tuned players? You know, these days, everyone is a bit more in that, well, a lot more.
I think the game
direction.
Just has lost a little bit of its magic. It's still good. It's still a great product, good to watch, but it's, I don't know.
That's the case with, just don't be harsh on the game, because that's the case with a lot of things. You think about cars, for example. A lot of people who love cars will say, oh, yeah, the best era for cars was back in the 60s when righty, righty, righty,
righty. Who are you doing an impression of then?
Just old men.
Okay. No Fatty Vorton then?
You know, electronics has ruined it. Why have we got computers in cars? You know, all that type of stuff. People get set in their ways about the type of stuff that they like, and because of the nature of the beast, you've got to move forward. And if you don't, then you fall behind. So you must move forward with technology and all the rest of it. And it changes the product, whatever it is. So I think you just got to appreciate...
That we've got football in the first place?
The rugby league as it is for what it is at the moment.
And Albert Fulavai's blistering speed.
Jeez, that's amazing.
Not the footy show. Show!
Okay, we're just ringing Nick now. We're just getting a call from... Oh, is that Nick? Nick's ringing. Outstanding. Here we go. All right, just putting on loudspeaker. All right. G'day, Nick. How you doing, mate?
Good, mate. How are you?
Sorry, is that Nick?
No, this is Jared Hayne. I don't think I'm going to be able to do the show tonight, fellas. I've got too much happening, and I'm tired, and I'm a bit of a wuss.
Okay, Nick. mate, I thought you were going to be on the show, and that's disappointing. So, Dave gets back in the room after impersonating you on the phone, we'll do the Dragons Tigers preview on Not the Footy Show.
Cheers, fellas.
Not the Footy Show.
Okay, so we were hoping to talk to Nick, but yeah, well,
he can't make it.
Happens occasionally on this show, but anyway, he can't make it for the moment. If he gives us a call when he gets a chance, and we're still in the studio, so be it. But we're going to plough through Raiders Tigers, the actual game itself. Now you watch this, Dave. From the comfort and the warmth of your dressing room.
Can I just
room?
Say about room. I feel a little bit harsh about the comment that I made about calling you a wuss.
Look, don't try and be everyone's friend.
No, but I am everyone's friend. Okay.
Right, yeah, that was Dave, by the way, in case you have got real problems. Actually, I think that was a better impression than my fatty, but...
I was trying to do Nick impersonating...
Oh, Jared that's Hayne. What you were trying to do. I had no idea.
Phyllis? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. We're going to the Braves Tigers. So you watch this at home. I was at the game.
Sorry, Nick.
Well, we spoke about it last week on the show, that if Canberra made errors, that was going to cost them.
And guess what?
20 minutes in the game, it's 18-6.
That's what happened.
12-point lead to the Tigers. Canberra, another 10 that chases points.
But they came back and almost won it.
Yeah, but they didn't.
No, they didn't, but it was
and
only
the
because
two tries we scored in the second half were pretty average tries, to be fair.
Yeah.
And the Tigers, oh, they scored off it was hard to watch because there was a certain style that we needed and we didn't play it.
When we're talking about that, I think it was Gus Gould made the comment on the night that the Tigers' defence within their own 20 is atrocious. Now, I've never noticed that before. Can you give weight to that argument? Is that?
I think he's being a little bit harsh. The fact that the Tigers have won that many games this year from positions where they probably shouldn't, like where they would have lost it in years past, is probably a testament enough that actually that's improved. Because you don't win how many games it was this year that they won. Those close games, if your 20-metre defence sucks. Really. I mean, I'm not saying that they're the most amazing side in the world, but if you can't defend your own 20, you don't win 15 games, whatever they won.
Did you watch Lottie Takiri actually run fast?
I saw it.
Did you see that?
I also saw Josh McCrone open the gap up for him like Sydney Heads and say, please, go for it, Lottie. Scrum moves, Tigers. I mean, David Ferner, was this in your little playbook? Did you realise that's what they do?
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, that hurt. Nothing else. 12-point lead. Then at halftime, Canberra got back within... Bronson Harrison had produced a couple of good plays. Josh Dugan was a constant threat on kick returns all night.
Yeah,
if
absolutely.
There'd been a support player by the name of Jared Croker anywhere near him, that would have been good.
You're not too happy with your team, are you, Woz?
No, I'm just...
They had a lot more potential than they
did. This is what I said to my brother at the end of the game. I was disappointed that we'd missed a chance to win a competition. I wasn't disappointed that we'd lost the game. There's a bit of a difference in that I didn't think we were the better team.
No.
I thought we were outplayed. We shouldn't have got to as close as we did, and when obviously Campese got hurt, that was all she wrote. But you don't get these chances often. We had 10 good weeks of football in the whole season.
Was it really a chance?
Did anyone it was.
Really? I mean, I know that they won.
You can't tell
9
me that,
out of 10, all the rest of it. They
you, can't, you can't tell me that Dragons fans weren't a little bit worried if they had to play Canberra.
I wasn't worried at all. I honestly...
See, I was talking about people who say this after the fact.
But I've said that. I said that last week.
Not worried at all?
No.
Well, at all?
Oh,
it's easy to say that.
Come
now.
On, everyone's going to be worried about any team.
I know a lot of Dragons fans that were packing it.
Technically, we could lose against Cronulla next week. I mean...
No, Cronulla have to make the finals.
I know, but you know what I'm saying.
I know. I think what...
I don't
you're only two games away from the grand final. Regardless of that, it's not so much that we beat you in that's been the games from the last thing. You get to the final four, you're one game from the GF.
Right.
That's a chance that you do not get every year. To have that chance and to get that close, and then Canberra to play the way they did, which was disappointing to be honest. That's what disappointed me. We weren't a team that had played a fair amount of good football, and those errors that we just couldn't afford to do in our own 20.
It was like
they came back and beat
us. It
was
like all of a sudden they realised, oh, hang on, we're actually in this, and then the pressure started building, playing the way that they had been playing the few weeks before. Because they were playing like a team that had nothing to lose.
Well, remember what I said? No,
and then all of a sudden they started...
No, I'll pull you up on that in the sense that I think that what happened to us was exactly what I'd been worried about for weeks. You play a certain game that like the Canberra did, where it rolls off forwards and you rely on your fifth tackle play off that big roll off down the field, okay?
Yeah.
You make errors, your game plan...
Goes out the window.
...is gone. That's exactly what happened to Canberra in the first 20 minutes. And the Tigers, the good team that they are... They made them pay when they got their chances.
Now, are you saying that teams shouldn't play with that game plan?
I'm saying that Canberra put themselves in a position where they had no other option. If they made errors, it was 4 degrees.
Yeah, but that's the game plan in every game of every team is to not make errors.
Yeah, but a team like the Tigers has that ability. They build their team around the ability to counterattack, the ability to attack.
Yeah.
If the Tigers had been down 12 points, I would have said they were always back in the game. When Canberra got down 12 points in the first half, and then didn't take a penalty goal right on half time. For me, that was absolutely vital that we take that too and get back within 4 points heading into half time. Because there was only 90 seconds left on the clock. And Campese was obviously doing what the coach says, which is go for a repeat set. Well, your set takes 60 seconds. Each team's got 45 seconds to take a dropout. We got that repeat set, but they just sat around, did nothing for 40 seconds and took it to half time. You take the 2 points, you're within a kick of going ahead. I just thought that was a mistake. Then just after half time, Chris Lawrence scores a try, 12-point gap again. That was the game because we just can't chase points.
It's interesting, though, that when the Dragons took lots of field goals against Manly...
Penalty goals, yeah.
Penalty goals, sorry. Everyone bagged them for doing so, saying that it's a bad option and that you really should test the line.
Oh, it's different times of the game. That's why people say stuff
I know,
like
but that. But I've always been a fan of trying to push the line because especially when it's late in the half... later than that 40 minutes, you're going to have tired defenders.
If there's if there's 3 minutes, and there's enough time for that repeat set, by all means, go for the try. That's how I viewed it.
Yeah, but you've got tired defenders anyway.
What have I been saying about Canberra and their style? What do they do in the 20?
What do you mean?
They try for a repeat set. They don't try and score a point. They try for a repeat set. It's exactly what they did. You look at that set of six.
They don't, yeah.
Well, they attacked on one play, and that was because Bronson Harrison actually was playing well.
Yeah, well, you're not going to take the set of six and then attack on one play, are you?
They attacked on one of the five plays.
There's a mistake there. You got to try and again, throw the ball around.
They eventually got the repeat set, but because the time fell out. Anyway, I thought the Tigers better side. The Tigers had practically no field position in the second half after that try they scored to go up 24 points to 12. Obviously, they got the penalty from the Leroy Lars thing, and this is something that I really found frustrating sitting there with my brother. We were both obviously looking at it from green and green eyes for me, and obviously black and gold for him. But The refereeing, we had X amount of penalties in the first 15 minutes, and you're going, oh no.
Yeah.
The worry, we looked at each other and basically said, they better keep this up.
Yeah, because there were lots in that first.
I don't think there was a penalty for like 40 minutes. It didn't seem like there was a penalty for 40 minutes until Leroy Lars gave that penalty away from being over Bryce Gibson to play the ball for the penalty that Marshall took to go up by 8 points. I'm pretty sure And we both looked at each other and said, that's a joke. How can there not have been a penalty in the last 40 minutes? Yeah. And that is the first one they call. And then even when the high tackle on Picker, to give Croker that chance, okay, that one then, we both looked at each other and said, why are they calling that a penalty? Because, Nick, we don't want to talk to you, Nick. Go away, Nick. We both looked at each other and said, why are they calling penalties now? That is the thing that bugged us the entire night.
It is very frustrating.
Because they call guys off being off square, off being offside, and this sort of stuff.
It's like they tried
ad nauseam for the first 15 minutes and then didn't call it the rest of the match. And people were offside. Like, the angle we had, everyone, was at the back corner, a little bit of elevation, perfect way to watch defensive lines and markers in particular. There was that much not called that it was just unbelievable for 40 minutes. And then to see the decisions, those two decisions, come up and be called, it's like, I guess the question is, Dave, how do you want to see a referee a game?
Consistently.
Do you want to see him call what he calls in the first 15 minutes the same the rest of the match? Or do you think there should be some leeway? Let them go just play the game from the get-go?
No, I think you've got to use your head, but you should try and make it the same for the full 80 minutes. You know, you don't want to give away heaps of penalties and be pedantic, but you don't want to let them just run away and not give a penalty for something that should be penalised. But at the same time, I think the onus is on the players not to do anything that's going to be penalised. I do not like the way the NRL is headed at the moment, or the referees at least are headed at the moment, because this is not the first time it's happened. This has been happening for quite some time, and it's been bagged by just about everyone, and they don't seem to care. They still think that they're right and we're wrong, and you know the best way to do it is to be different.
Be noisy for the first 15, do nothing for 40, and then wake up in the last 10.
It's just ridiculous.
If I had the ideal way, and again, this is what you're a child of a lot of the times, growing up with Bill Harrigan, the way he refereed games. Greg McCallum, I watched him that Canberra Knights game from 94. Graham Annesley is the referee.
Right.
He called what he had to, and he let the rest of it go.
What do you mean by let it go?
He just let the game play. I mean, there were times where you go, that guy's a little bit offside or whatever, but he just let the game. He called what he had to, and what bugs me about, and this is what I'm saying, if I had the directive for the referees, I would say this. Unless it's foul play, unless the guy is an absolute mile offside at marker, practically let them play football.
It's different, but you can't do that about every rule.
I'm saying you ignore markers square, you ignore... Unless the guy is offside at the play the ball.
How hard is it to stand square?
Evidently way too hard, because referees can't seem to be consistent in how they enforce it. That's the thing that...
Yeah, but if it's not standing square, then it's deserved of a...
They're not going to call it, mate. And we saw that particularly in that Tigers-Roosters game. They're all going for field goals. That meant every single guy running from marker was a mile offside, and they didn't call a single thing.
Which is wrong. You got to call
it. And that's what we're like. I just go, well, just don't call that in the first 15 minutes then if you're not going to call it later on.
Consistency, refs.
Let them play the football. Anyway, Nick will not be joining us tonight, as you may have already heard. He's played the I can't talk card. So we're going to look at Dragons versus Tigers, the preview of this big game.
I'm going to hold myself back.
I know you're going to pick the Dragons.
Yeah.
Matt has picked the Dragons. We have no tips from Nick. I'll be taking the Tigers. Give you one reason. I've seen them win a lot of games this year that they shouldn't have won. I think they might just get those Dragons, and if there's going to be a game with the Dragons and get done in that mental pressure stakes, it's going to be this game. If they win this week, the Dragons, they'll win the Premiership.
Yeah.
I have no doubt about that. I just think the Tigers got a lot of self-belief, even from that game that they did get beaten in against the Roosters. They would have realised how well they played those first 60 minutes. They turn it around, they beat the Raiders in Canberra. That's a big fill-up if you need it going into a big game like this. They've got the brilliance of Farrow and Marshall. I can't go past that. Their best two players are better than any of the Dragons players. What are your thoughts?
Our team as a whole deliberately doesn't have any best two players because we like to play as a team. Mm. So that totally disregards
you're saying that the Tigers don't play as a team?
Well, you just said it. You said that their two best players are their standouts and the rest of the team's got nothing.
I'll take that class over the class that the Dragons have got. That's what I'm saying.
The Dragons have been very, very good all year.
Mm-hmm.
Now...
And like, this isn't Dragons hate from my perspective.
No, that's fair enough. Well, my point is, like I said before, anyway, earlier, I was saying, having that week off does slow you down for that first 10 minutes before you try and get back into the game.
Yep.
And that's the time when the Tigers are at their best. That's when the Benji Marshall pulls out the flick pass or the beautiful kick to the winger, and it's going to be hard to stop them from scoring points in those first 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And traditionally, this year, Dragons have struggled with chasing points. So that's a big telling factor in this game. However, in saying that, I do think the Dragons are going to be fresh enough that if they can start this game, and I've got faith that that if they can start this game well, their cover defence and their whole, what does Gould call it, strangling the opposition out of the game.
Grinding
them out. You know, that play, I think, will work. And I still... There is... Now, let me try and rattle off the players. There's Gasnier, Cooper, Hornby...
Morris.
No.
Who were there the last time?
In 2005. Cray.
Who else
am I missing? Dean Young, maybe?
Yeah, Dean Young was there.
So there's five players that I think are going to remember the 2005, remember the fact that it was pretty much exactly the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
It was the game before the grand final, and we'd come off a bye.
Yep.
So we were slow, and we'd never got back into the rhythm. And I think those five guys will have learned from it and will be determined as all get out to not let it happen again. I honestly think that will be the telling factor in this game. The Dragons, I do think, will be feeding off the fact that they're going to be saying, we are not going to let that happen to us again. The other thing I wanted to say...
Yes.
Well, this isn't such a telling factor in a game,
yeah.
But it was in the paper that Morris and Young... both their dads played in the grand final.
They're second generation.
Yeah, but their dads played in the...
Players, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but their dads played in a winning grand final team for the same team that
in
they're playing for.
In 1979. Is that the last one?
79, yeah, or 77, maybe. It was 77 and 79 when we won.
Yep.
And Craig Young captained them in 79. I'm not sure what happened in 77. Anyway, that's a pretty prestigious thing, and they only rattled off three or four other players.
Okay.
Three or four other father-son teams that have done, you know, winning a premiership at the same club. And if they can strive to get that's a pretty big motivational thing. And Dean Young was talking about it in the paper, and he was, you know, and you know how Dean Young is. He's really quite a determined...
Absolutely.
You know. So, anyway, Gaz is very excited as well. I'm pretty sure he's pretty... I've read in the paper as well about his... maturity. No, sorry, this was in a magazine somewhere about his maturity that he gained from going to France and all the rest of it, and that he's learnt to not be. I don't know. He reckons he was a bit too erratic in his younger years and a bit too. He reckons that he learnt a bit of patience or whatever from being in France and having to learn the language and righty righty right. So anyway,
there's enough factors there that help the Dragons if they start well get over the line.
Their defence being that good, I think will. I don't think we'll score any early tries, but I think we'll shut down the Tigers. And don't forget, the Tigers, like we said before, played 100 minutes of intense footy, then 80 minutes of intense footy, and both times slowed down towards the end of the game. Now, I know everyone's saying that Steve Foulkes has been the difference, but you know that's why they can hold on. But against the Dragons this year, I don't see it.
Okay.
And I do think we'll run away with it in the end.
You'll do a classic Dragons, you'll strangle it, and then
in the last 20 minutes, we'll get another two tries, and we'll end up winning by about 12.
Now, it's important to point out here, I'm not anti-Dragons.
Yeah,
saying is, you ask me who's going to win this game, and I'll break it down to the key factor of pressure.
But you've been very pro-Tigers.
But I've been pro-Tigers all year, and I can't back away from that here, because when the Storm were knocked out of the competition, I picked the Tigers, and I've stuck with them all year.
All right.
I was really impressed by the fact they won last week. I don't care how they won. The fact they won in Canberra is a big thing.
But even you just before were saying about how bad you guys played.
Yeah, but as I said, a good team takes advantage of that. And that, to me, is something that
Taking advantage of a team playing badly is beating them by a lot, not beating them by two.
No, I disagree. In finals football, it doesn't matter what you beat them by, as long as you beat them. I'll give you that in the middle of the regular season or whatever. Yeah, you should beat them by 40. But the thing that I have here with the Dragons is that they are a very good side, and clearly they have a plan A that is outstanding. And we've said this before about them I compared it to the Raiders in that their plan A is fantastic. My worry with the Dragons in going into this match,
their plan B,
is not so much whether they score early points or the Tigers score early points. I've always been a big believer that yes, you need a good defence to win a competition.
Right.
No doubt about that at all. But if that is your strongest asset and it doesn't work in the first part of a match or for the game, and all of a sudden all those systems that have been working so well for so long don't work, defence won't get you back into a game.
You need a bit of attack.
I weigh it up here and I go, look, the Tigers have won all these close games this year with their defence hanging on to matches. They've hanging on to matches in a lot of senses.
Right.
But they've got an attack that can produce the big play when they need it. And I know that the Dragons' defence is excellent. I'm not discounting that whatsoever. But what I'm saying is, I don't know if the Dragons have that big play that they need to break open the Tigers' defence.
You know what we've
defense.
Got? Like I said, the Tigers' defence will be tired late in the game because of the amount of...
Well, everyone's going to be tired late in the game.
But theirs is going to be more tired than ours. And we've got this fellow by the name of Jamie Soward who likes to carve teams up late in the game when the defence is tired.
I'd like to see him carve up teams at the start of the game. That's just me personally.
Yeah, true.
But that's the thing. We're looking at, as I say, I look at the class play. I always break down, if I'm going to pick a game like this or a game throughout the year, I always look at what class is. Who's got class? The Tigers have two of the classiest players going around the comp.
But by those rights, then you wouldn't have picked the Dragons once the whole year.
No.
Because you say they don't have any standout players.
In a game like this, you've got to pick the class. You have to. They've been there, they've won it before. It's a big thing, man.
Yeah, but then the Dragons shouldn't have beaten the Tigers or the Roosters at all during the year. By that mentality, the classy players is the team that you're going
to
go with.
I would have tipped very poorly this year if I'd stuck to that all year. But we're asking in the sense of a preliminary final.
All right.
Who are you choosing to stand up in this kind of game? I'm taking the Tigers. I think they win by 7. What do you got the Dragons by?
12.
Such raw confidence. I like it. How are you going to feel in about a week's time if they don't win? I have to ask that question.
I'll be very upset. I will be. I'll be... Because I've been riding this emotion for quite some time. None the least of, like...
30 years.
Well, but in this particular role that we've had for this year and last year, it hurt enough last year, but this year we're doing even better. If we do stuff
okay.
it up...
On that, and you're saying you feel bad, if the Dragons lose...
Yeah.
Would you prefer to lose this week, or would you prefer to lose next week?
Jeez.
Because you've experienced a few grand final losses in your time. Would you prefer to lose this week against the Tigers or next week against the Titans or the Roosters? Not saying you're going to lose. Just saying if you had to try and deal with that, how would you feel? Because I'm sure a lot of Dragons fans out there are in a similar boat.
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that. It would suck so much to have another grand final that we've lost. That would suck so much. And especially, and this is going to upset a few people, but if it's against the Titans, which a lot of... We both rate them as a decent side, but most of the other people are rating the Dragons, the Tigers, and the Roosters higher than the Titans at this stage of the game. So if we lose the grand final against the Titans, it will upset me. But if you go down against a classy team...
Mm. Oh, class. Don't bring that word.
No, hang on. I'm allowed to say that. A classy team that played well, and if you played well as well, but they just outplayed you, that makes it easier.
You can deal with that.
But if you stuffed up...
Yeah.
If you... I'm going to bring out the C word. If you choked, that'll just suck.
Mm.
That'll just... Oh. I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen.
Okay, well, Matty agrees. Matt's going with the Dragons as well. As I said, we don't have Nick's picks, but I think we know who'll pick, don't we?
Yeah. Put him down for the Dragons.
Put him down for the Dragons.
We just don't know how much he's going to say it by.
But yeah, everybody, that's our preliminary finals picks. I think across the board, we've all gone Roosters against the Titans. And two of us have gone the Dragons, one of us have gone the Tigers in the other game. So that leaves us with a grand final.
Do you know what else?
On Sunday week.
If we lose to the team that came dead last year, that'll upset me a lot. I don't like it, was it? It's testament to how well the salary cap is working. I think I talked about this in the past weeks.
Mm.
I don't like teams coming from dead last and then doing exceedingly well the next year. It's not supposed to happen that way. I know.
You haven't lost yet, mate. You haven't lost yet.
I know.
Bring all this stuff out if you lose, okay?
Do you know what else I just realised? Yeah, this is coming from the man who just before said that you've got to move with the times and all the rest of it. And now I'm being a little bit old school. There's certain levels that you're allowed to
accept. Speaking of finishing last and whatever, I saw an article today in the Herald. I mentioned at the top of the show, but Dave Mitchell was quoted as saying that the 1933, I think it was, 1933 or 34, Newtown Jets, who won the premiership, were a pretty average team.
Right.
It could just be the way I look at it, but I'm astounded that a guy who is probably 43 or 44 can pass a comment on a team that was 70-odd years beforehand and make the comment they were pretty... Like, they're a premiership-winning team, and yet he's saying they're a pretty... Like, it's a pretty harsh sledge. Let's be fair. It's not...
No, okay, fair enough.
It's not, they took advantage of a bad competition. They're a pretty average... An average team does not win a premiership, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's true.
So my point is, how does he know that they're an average team?
Because he's a stats guru. He's
but the only stats he can look at, literally, the only stats he can look at, unless he's got footage from 1933...
No, he's got paper reports and...
Who played the...
They had media back then that wrote...
Didn't have media back then.
Yes, they did. They had newspapers.
I just got told the result outside the ground.
Oh, come on now.
I was just astounded that he could pass that... if he says that they took advantage or whatever, that's fine.
Are you really that upset about
this? It just
this?
Bugs me that you can make a comment about a team you never saw play.
All right. We just had great conversation about grand finals and whatnot. And
now the poor... I guess what I'm saying is the 1933 or 34 Newtown Jets don't get their due. Greatest team of all time. There you go, I'll say it. Best team ever seen. By no one.
Not the Footy Show.
Okay, so that's Not the Footy Show, episode 44. I'm not sure what we've got in the podcast tonight. I'll be editing this a lot, but I think we got there in the end.
Yeah, we got there.
We got some Dragons passion.
We rabbled on again.
Some South Queensland Crusher jersey spottings.
Nice.
And we spoke about one really important factor, which was pressure and who's under the most pressure in these final four matches.
With pressure comes determination. So it also comes down to how well the team deals with the pressure.
Mm. Or brain snaps, a la Hyington, a la Alan Donald.
Okay, then.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the things that we were saying that puts pressure on a team can also spur a team on to be...
That they can. And we'll find it out on Friday night, Titans and Roosters from Suncorp. On Saturday, Dragons versus Tigers at ANZ Stadium. And then we'll be looking at the grand final the week after that on the Sunday night. I think it's a 5 p.m. kickoff.
Yes, it is. It's one of those twilight games.
Now, we won't be back on Not the Footy Show until later next week. Our grand final show will probably be on Thursday night or possibly Wednesday night.
Well, that's when we'll record it.
It'll be out Thursday or Friday next week. We're hopefully going to have Brad Walter on. I'll see if I can get some other people, and I might talk to him during the week and have a bit of a setup for you and mm-hmm. a bit of a...
If there's any
two-parter.
If there's any Not the Footy Show that we've got to really put on some effort, it's the grand final.
It's the grand, because I mean, to be honest, the energy just wasn't there for me tonight. I tried, I got through it as much as I could, but yeah, cricket season's starting, people, and those sessions just smashed me. So we'll just see what we can put up for the show next week.
Are you a big fat slob that doesn't ever do any running? Or
I do plenty of running, but bowling. See, Dave doesn't believe that cricketer does anything. How many games of cricket you played in your life, Dave?
Plenty. I've played heaps of backyard cricket.
Okay, that says enough.
You take a run-up and you bowl a ball, and then you wait for 10 seconds and walk, and then you take Hey, I played squash. Okay, squash is one of those explosive games
where
you sprint your bum off for a good 30 seconds each point, and then you've got 2 seconds before the next guy serves it. So
that's in the off-season, my friend.
Yeah, okay.
We'll be taking care of that. It'll be Dragons versus Raiders in that little...
Anyway, that's the reason why Wazza was a little bit flat tonight.
Yeah, I just didn't have it tonight, people. Well, maybe I did. I don't know.
We promise a much better effort next week.
Next week will be huge.
It's going to be massive.
If I have to handcuff Nick McInerney into the studio...
In fact, I'm going to promise a performance by Wolfmuller.
Is that what you're performing? Well, we definitely know they're not at the grand final this year.
Woman, you know you're woman.
Gee, we've gone around in circles tonight, people, but that's Not the Footy Show, episode 44. I've been Waz. Make sure you check out the road trip video. And Dave
see
is
right through me. I got the feeling of
singing.
Love. Okay.
Say goodbye, Dave.
See you, fellas.
Okay, everybody. We'll see you next time. Oh, Not the Footy Show. Look out for our grand final show next week. See ya.
Have a good one.
Not the Footy Show. Just wanted to point something out about Jared Croker. He obviously can take the miss in good spirits because he turned up to Mad Monday with the Raiders in a Bert and Ernie costume. He was Bert. Figure it out. It's actually quite genius.
Not the Footy Show. Show!
Again, I've got to talk a bit louder. Got to be nice and strong voice. Right.
Okay.
I bless the rains down in Africa. I can't believe you don't like that song.
I love it. Oh, it's just annoying.